We've been doing a series on Revelation, specifically in this area of tribulation, the Ready or Not, which is the series before this. So this is a prequel. The Ready or Not was geared toward the rapture and that concept. If you have your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 6. We're getting into the concept. I encourage you to download or purchase or listen, stream the messages if you haven't been with us to keep up with the context of what we're doing. Revelation is about Jesus. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not the revelation of the Antichrist. It's not the revelation of some bad things happening. It's all about Jesus. And it's really the plan of God being wrapped up, coming to the place where God wants it to be. It's amazing to me what God started, he will finish. And the devil will try to mess things up. But even when he tries to mess things up, God has a way of turning things around and bringing it around to where he wants it to be. And so even in the early church days, they would encourage each other and say, encourage each other with these teachings, talking about end time prophecies. And it wasn't based on the fact of, oh, a lot of bad stuff is going to happen, but it was to remind us, even when the devil tries to mess with your life and divert God's plan and will for your life, if you trust the Lord and follow him and live for him, he has a way of turning things around, making things that look impossible possible. Come on, somebody. And bringing your life to the place that is within the framework of his perfect will for your life. And so what the enemy meant for evil, God can turn things around for good. And so when you read the end of Revelation, you find out that we win, God wins, his will is done, and things are brought right to the place he wants it to be. It might have taken a few thousand years. Come on, somebody. It might have taken a long time, but God has a way. He will outlast. He is the beginning and the end. Jesus said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and at the end there only be him. Come on. Nobody else is going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords but Jesus. And so those are encouraging words for all of us. Now, the ground rules for all our guests, we have a few ground rules for these series. Number one is that Jesus stays number one. Number two is we don't break rank and get mad at each other, because the goal is not for you and I to agree on prophecy interpretation. When you come to future events, you have to bring in your perspective. And you can read it and come up with a different interpretation than I do, and that's okay. Okay? There's nothing wrong with that. If someone says you've got to agree with me on end-time prophecies, there's no reason for that. The goal is for you to study, be curious enough to read, and for you to come to your own conclusion. If it's different, great. If it's the same, great. The goal is not for us to agree. The goal is for you to read, because Revelation says that whoever reads and studies it is going to be blessed. Did you hear that? So I'm blessed. I mean, you're blessed just for coming to church today. Amen. Aren't you glad? And so we don't create breaking ranks of relationship trying to come to agreement when it comes to end time prophecies. But we look at it, we follow through, and we trust God to show us, and there's going to be all these areas of interpretation, and I will begin any of my personal preference. I will say, this is how I see it. So you know, this is not talking about how to get saved. Those truths, it doesn't matter how you interpret it. Jesus is the only way. Did you hear me? You know what I mean? When we talk about the blood of Jesus, the cross, or who Jesus is, there's no room for interpretation. It is or it isn't. When you come to future events that haven't happened yet, then we bring it to areas of interpretation. So with that said, that was our little disclaimer there. With that said, Revelation chapter 6, if you have your Bibles, would they throw up on the screen, if you would, for me, the graphic of Revelation. The book in itself has enormous amount of information, and we're going to throw that at. As you can see, it keeps going even after beyond the screen. But we've talked about the white horse. Oh, there's the big spread graphical thing, and then it zooms in. And there's the white horse, and we're going to continue on with that today. We see it really has a lot of stuff that we're going to be covering in this series. But the first seal we discussed last time being the white horse representing the Antichrist. He's a person that is intertwined through this because he reigns, or he is the ruler for 7 years, but he is defeated. He's called the Antichrist because he tries to imitate Jesus, and that we went into great detail last time, and that'll be on the CD that you have with you. Today we're going to pick up with the second seal. In John's gospel, he's in heaven. He's seeing Jesus, the Lamb of God, open up the seals, and starting at verse 3, it says, when the Lamb broke the second seal, I heard the second living being say, come. Then another horse appeared, a red one. Its rider was given a mighty sword and the authority to take peace from the earth. And there was war and slaughter everywhere. Now, this not only includes war, some people take it in not only a global war, like nation against nation, but also on a smaller scale, people against people and just society. Peace is taken from the earth, and people begin to kill each other. Now, some theologians, there's a lot of different ideas here. One idea is that it's just basically war. Another one is that one theologian believed that it comes out of Ezekiel 38 and represents Russia. Russia because their flag is red, and they're red Russia. And also in Ezekiel 38, they're referred to as Magog, Meshach, Tubal, and Rosh, which are all connected to Russia. Tubal being Tobolsk, which is southeast of Siberia. Meshach being Moscow, modern-day Moscow, and Rosh being modern-day Russia. And so we find in Ezekiel that in the future, Russia will invade Israel, Jerusalem. And some people tie that into the context of this particular seal. My opinion, I don't have an opinion on this one. Would you believe it? You found a preacher that doesn't have an opinion on everything. Come on, somebody. I don't have a personal opinion. That's just information right now. I don't have a thing where I feel one way or the other. It could be just general war. It could be the war with Russia. It could be war with Russia and China coming down. China is involved in this. They are more than just people we're getting money from. They are future players. Iran is a future player in prophecy. And so I encourage you as believers to, when you're watching the news, reading the news, keep your eye on Jerusalem. Keep your eye on Israel, because it's really all based around them. And it's amazing how one nation who's been around forever basically still is in our news every day from people who are trying to destroy them. Moving on to seal number 3, Revelation 6, verses 5 and 6. When the Lamb broke the third seal, I heard the third living being saying, "Come." And I looked up and saw a black horse, and its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice from among the four living beings saying, "A loaf of wheat bread or 3 loaves of barley will cost a day's pay. And don't waste the olive oil and the wine." I feel a direction to pause for a second. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and our lives and in this church. We thank you for the people that are being saved and ministered to. And Lord, we come today and we ask you to open our eyes and our hearts. Not don't let anybody be overwhelmed, but let every one of us be encouraged, instructed. Let every person of the sound of my voice receive something from you that we can apply in our daily lives. And we give you praise. And everybody said, amen. Notice here again, it said that the black horse came and the rider holding the pair of scales in his hand. It represents hyperinflation and famine. Hyperinflation and famine. Hyperinflation. Now keep a practical connection. A possible practical connection is war costs a lot of money. And if in the second seal we have war, if there's global war, I mean, any nation before they go to war, if they're smart, unless they're under attack, will look at, can we afford this? Because you don't want to get in the middle of battle or war and find out you financially can't pay for more ships or planes or missiles or whatever it might be. Because if you do, then you have to start taking it from the economy, the people that are just living in the country. And that can create a lot of poverty. And so obviously there's a strong connection there that war breaks out. And because of it, there's global famine, global hyperinflation. To the point it says that a loaf of bread, in the New Living Translation, a loaf of bread or 3 loaves of barley will cost a day's pay. And don't waste the olive oil and the wine. Now, several theologians, which I think is very interesting, and I agree with this, I don't see any problem with it, is the idea that the loaf of bread or 3 loaves of barley will cost a day's pay. And the breakdown of that is the measures of barley represent symbolically in John's day what is the amount, minimum amount of food you need to survive one day. Just not bread. It's the minimum. It represents the minimum amount of food required for you to just stay alive. So what it's saying is that a person will work one full day just to have enough money to buy the minimum amount of food to stay alive. We're not talking about buying things. Not car payments, house payments, clothes, nothing. You will work all, or not you, not you in the name of Jesus. Unless you don't know Jesus, and it might be you, but we pray that you're right with God. Amen. So this is not you, so apologize for that. But those who were living on the earth at that time will work one full day just to buy food to stay alive. Referring to the don't touch the oil and wine, several theologians, and I agree with this also, that in John's day that represented luxuries that only wealthy people could have. And so the possible interpretation of that is this will not, at that point, at this phase, will not affect those who are wealthy, but it will literally be wiping out the middle class and the poor. Which basically means if that is true, then the next would be true that if that's the case, then you can just determine that Social Security, gone. Entitlement programs, gone. Hospitalization, healthcare, gone. That's the future. It's kind of scary, isn't it? So let's take a 2-minute praise break. Okay. Let me, 1 Thessalonians 5:9, on a positive note. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God has not appointed you to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. If you've been with us, the rapture's already happened at this point before this stuff starts. I believe that the rapture happens before the judgment of God upon evil, and that we're going to be gone and won't have to deal with this. Now, if you're playing church, Lord help you. Okay? Psalms 37, verse 25 says, once I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the godly abandoned or their children belonging for or begging or belonging for bread. Or begging, excuse me, begging for bread. So you're not going to be a beggar. Did you hear me? You're a child of God. So when this stuff happens, what am I going to do? Social Security, I'm dependent on that. Well, if you're here, forget about Social Security. You got bigger problems. But I don't plan us being here. Come on. I said, I don't plan us being here. So we have to keep, it gets a little heavy and intense when you start reading Revelation. Some of you are like, oh. You're sliding under your seat slowly. I see that. Okay, seal number 4, Revelation chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, come, and I looked, and there was before me a pale horse. The word pale there in the original Greek is chloros, which is also could represent green, so like a pale greenish, a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades, or hell, was following close behind him. They were given power over 1/4 of the earth, or a fourth of the earth, to kill by sword, by famine, plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. Ezekiel 14:21 is a secondary reference for your own study and notes. So notice what's released here in the seal number 4 is death and hell. People are dying. Death is taking the physical body, hell representing taking their soul, taking it to the place of the damned. 1/4 of the population is dying. So we already have the Antichrist in place. He's doing his thing. War's breaking out. Now, some theologians believe that between seal 1 and seal 2, the Antichrist and the red horse being war, that there's 3.5 years. Some believe that they're right next to each other. And where the concept of a gap comes from is out of Matthew 24. Says that these things are come like a woman having birth pains. And all those women can tell me one way or the other. When you start having birth pains, two things happen. One, they get more intense. And two, they get closer together. And so if that's the case, then there's the first 3.5 years are peaceful, which personally I believe they are. And then halfway through, and we talked about this in Daniel's 70th week, because at the beginning of the tribulation, the Antichrist creates a treaty with Israel. Watch Israel. Folks, watch Israel. But the Antichrist will create a peace treaty with Israel 3.5 years into it. He'll violate it and break it. I believe at that point, that's when war kicks in. If that's the case, think about this. First 3.5 years, we have seal 1 to seal 2. But we have still to go seal all the way up to seal 7. And that 7th seal opens 7 trumpets of judgment. And that 7th trumpet opens 7 vials of judgment. So we have a long way to go. And they get more intense and they get closer together. Do you see that? And so what we have to realize is that this is not going to be a place you want to hang out. Come on, somebody. All right, so we look at 1/4 of the earth is killed. So the Antichrist is doing his thing. Wars everywhere. People are starving. And now 1/4 of the population. As of last year, they had figured out that there's a little over 7 billion people on the planet. If we take in consideration just a guesstimate, let's say 1 billion is raptured, that's going to create some chaos in the economy and system. I mean, just the rapture of the saints caused planes to go down, cars to wreck, jobs to be empty. Some of you, the way you shop, the economy's got a hard place. When you go to heaven, they're going to be like, OMG, we just, no, I'm joking. So if we knock, if we take a take it down to 6 billion, and if one-fourth of that, 1.5 billion is killed. Not talking about the people who've been dying because of war. Can you imagine the chaos? Now, a side thought on this is that anarchy, war, and famine has been continuing, but the two new killers here are pestilence and animal attacks. A couple of theologians believe, which I would agree with this, I don't see a problem with this because it makes logical sense, is that if war started, then at this phase, biological war or chemical war has been utilized. Weapons. And if they release weapons of mass destruction or weapons that specifically being chemical or biological upon each other, nation against nation, not only will it wipe out a lot of people, but it will also, and has the potential as a side result, to change, alter wild animals who could then become aggressive and begin to attack. I think I need another praise break. Seal number five. Seal number five. I saw a person back there heaving in a brown paper bag. They're so nervous. No. Seal number five. Revelation verses 9 and through 11. When the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been martyred for the word of God and for being faithful in their testimony. They shouted to the Lord and said, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you judge the people who belong to this world and avenge our blood for what they have done to us? Notice that they're crying out for vengeance to those who belong to the world, not to those who belong to God that have done this to them, who's killed them. Then a white robe, keep that in your notes, reference that. A white robe was given to each of them, and they were told to rest a little longer until the full number of their brothers and sisters, their fellow servants of Jesus, who were to be martyred, has joined them. So we're going to see people that are dying because of their faith now. Now, I'm going to skip this for a little bit because in a few verses later, it talks about them again, and we'll go in more detail. So moving right to seal number six, verse 12 through 17. It says, I watched, the Lamb broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became as dark as black sackcloth, and the moon became as red as blood. Then the stars of the sky fell to the earth like green figs falling from a tree, shaken by a strong wind. The sky was rolled up like a scroll, and all the mountains and islands were moved from their places. Then everyone, the kings of the earth, the rulers, the generals, the wealthy, the powerful, and every slave and free person, all hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they cried to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of the one who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to survive? Now, let me give you a couple possible interpretations of this. One thought is that this is the result of a nuclear fallout, that at this time that they've moved from biological weapons to nuclear weapons, which is affecting the stars or affecting the sky, affecting, you know what I mean, just the cloud and all the effects of a nuclear bomb, okay? One question I have about that is, if that was the case, I don't know why they would be crying out for the rocks to fall on them so that they can hide from the face of God. Do you see my point? If, God forbid, Iran sent a nuclear warhead over to the United States, the reaction would be, let's send one back. It wouldn't be, hide me from God. So there's a possibility of this, but there still has to be a spiritual connection that people are crying out to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the wrath of God. Okay? That's my opinion. So there, it could be connected to nuclear warfare, but I still need, in my opinion, a spiritual connection to that. Another one is the volcano eruptions, which would kind of it gives the example of why the sky turns different colors because of all of the stuff and the things falling from the sky. Another one is a meteor colliding with the earth. Have you noticed that a few years ago there was all this attention about how the world was supposed to end on December 21st, 2012? Nobody talks about that anymore. I guess they changed their mind. I just don't know what happens. You know, it'd be just like a meteor. So I Googled it. I'm like, where's the meteor? You know what I mean? Is it coming? Oh, it's changed. It's not coming now. It's coming later. I don't know how they figured that out, but it's procrastinating. So, one thought is that the meteor collapses, and if you've seen those movies where a meteor hits the earth, not a good deal, right? Messes things up. That could be a possibility. An idea, which I think is totally interesting, the first time I've, in my studies, have seen this. One theologian believes that there is a connection between that it's more metaphors, symbols, and that the sun and the moon turning colors represents eclipses, because in the Jewish teachings and the rabbis' teaching, that they talk about when there's a eclipse in the sun or eclipse in the moon, the more of those you have in a given year, it represents a bad omen or bad things have always happened. And so they are looking right now that there's literally set up for 7 of these eclipses in 2014 and 7 of them in 2015, all and many of them attached to the feast of Passover, the feast of the trumpets. We did a teaching on that in the past. And so that could be the case. But if that's the case, what's the stuff falling from the sky? You know what I mean? So maybe it's a combination. I honestly don't know. I do know that it's going to create enormous global catastrophe, okay? And the fact that they're crying out, because there is a time in tribulation, catch this, there is a time during the tribulation where death will be stopped and you will not die. You cannot die. Why? Because that'll keep people from getting a quick escape from judgment. That's why they're going to the mountains and crying out, fall on us, because they can't die. Lord, help us all. It goes right from this text into the 144,000 Jews. Verse 7 of chapter 4 says, I heard many that were marked with the seal of God. 144,000 were sealed from all tribes of Israel. Revelation 14, verse 1 and 4 says, then I saw the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him were 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads, and they have kept themselves as pure virgins, following the Lamb wherever he goes. They have been purchased from among the people of the earth as a special offering to God and to the Lamb. They have told no lies. They are without blame. So here's my interpretation. This is how I believe this plays out. I believe that there's a large group of Orthodox Jews that love God, serve God, but have never had the revelation that Jesus is the Messiah. And you can love God, but without Jesus, you can't get to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. But I believe that there's going to come a time when the rapture happens and the church is gone, that all of a sudden they will have a heart revelation. It'll be their time, and they'll have a heart revelation of who the Messiah is, and they'll become Messianic Jews. 144,000 of them, 12,000 out of every tribe of Israel except for the tribe of Dan, and they will be sent throughout the whole earth to evangelize. Now, if you're with us in the Ready or Not, I did a whole thing about the pattern of the feast and could it be possible, and I really believe that the purpose is to go throughout those who knew God but turned their back on God or didn't accept God or just played church. You can go to church, but doesn't mean you're part of the church. You can sleep in a garage, doesn't make you a car. And there's a lot of people, are you listening to me? There is a lot of people who will think they are ready but are not ready. Jesus said, wide is the path to destruction, and many follow it, but narrow is the path to righteousness. It's not a matter of you just doing what you want, and one day I'll get it figured out. Or I remember as a teenager having that mindset of, I'll do what I want, and then, you know what I mean, when the church is gone, then I'll just get my head cut off. Say, bad plan. Come on, work with me, church. Say, bad plan. I'm telling you what, if you can't stand up for Jesus when the worst thing we have to deal with is being ridiculed or ostracized or being excommunicated or not invited to a party or getting a hard time at work, then how are you going to stand up for Jesus when you're hungry, the place is gone, the world's gone in chaos, things are falling from the skies, and all of a sudden they want to kill you, cut your head off. So you can't play church. I believe with all my heart that we are moving toward the end days, and I believe with all my heart that the Antichrist, the person, is alive, he's an adult, he knows his assignment, and he's on the wings He's off to the side of civilization as far as being visible, waiting for the restrainer, the church and the Holy Spirit, to be removed for him to take his place. It's not a good time to play church. But they spread the gospel. And those, what happens to those who get saved? Well, you can't take the mark. We talked about that last week. The mark of the beast will be a system that the devil, through the Antichrist and the false prophet, we'll get into some of those characters later, but they will set up this economy system that you have to have the mark to buy or sell. You'll be required to worship God, but it has to be something more than that. And I went on the CD you have today, we gave you, I went into my opinion, what I think it's all about, because some of you have worshiped other gods, but then you can repent. But something about the mark of the beast, when you take it, you can never repent, ever. You have permanently damned yourself to hell. I want to make that clear, because I had a lady say to me after one of the messages recently, all right, and dear grandma, God bless her, she's like, all right, pastor, I'm a little confused. Do I want to take the mark or do I not want to take the mark? So let me clarify. No, you don't want to take the mark. In fact, no, you shouldn't be around where they're giving it out. But if you are, if you happen to be listening to this CD and you can't figure out what's going on, the world's crazy, and you happen to put this in a CD player and you're listening, don't take the mark. But they'll kill me. Die. Because if you take the mark, you will spend eternity in hell. Do not take the mark of the beast. And so what happens? They get saved from the witnesses, 144,000. And so they have to make a decision and they don't take the mark. And so they begin to get killed. Now think about the impact of 144,000 Jews that are witnesses that have just been turned on to Jesus, the Messiah. Let's look at this. Matthew 24, and I believe, let me just read it and I'll tell you. Matthew 24, verse 9 and 14. Then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed, and you will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. Verse 14, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. Remember, in the context of Matthew 24, they ask him three questions. When's the end? When are you going to return? A lot of times over the years, I've even sometimes taken this where it was talking about the rapture. But I now believe, my opinion now, is that it's not talking about the rapture, which is an unseen sign, but talking about the end times. If you just take the parallel of the seals that we're looking at and what the signs that Jesus gives in Matthew 24, you will find an amazing parallel connection here. It's just clocking out. I believe that it's the signs of the end and the gospel being preached throughout the whole earth. We've always talked about that, referring to the rapture. I believe that it's the assignment of the 144,000 Jews to go throughout the whole earth, because it's the sign of the end, not the sign of the rapture. But anyway, let's look at these martyrs. Revelation verse 7, chapter 7, verse 9, and verse 14. The latter part says, after this I saw a vast crowd too great to count. This is up in heaven, John sees it. From every nation, tribe, and people, and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. These are the people that have been evangelized as a result of the 144,000 Jews that have gone throughout the earth. Notice, it's people too great to count. So all of a sudden, we go from 7 billion, and let's just say hypothetically that a billion is raptured, now 6, and you get a fourth of those are gone. And then all of a sudden, there's all this evangelism going on, and they are killing these people. They're cutting their heads off because they won't take the mark, won't worship the beast or the image of the Antichrist, and they won't deny God. And so they go through this, and they're getting their head cut off. They're in heaven now. Notice, it's people too great to count. That means there's a lot of people. And from every nation, from every tribe of people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb, they were clothed in white robes. Remember earlier, seal 5? They were given what? White robes. Notice this. And held palm branches in their hands. And these are the ones who died in the great tribulation. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white. In Revelation 20, we see him again. It says, and I saw thrones, and the people sitting on them had given them authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their testimony about Jesus and for proclaiming the word of God. They had not worshiped the beast or his statue, nor accepted his mark on their foreheads. They all came to life again, and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So what happens? Those people are being, all right, if you look at a sea of people, what is one that could be too much to count? You could throw out a number. Let's say a million. Think of how long it takes, not to be gross. If they are killing a million people in a short period of time, there are literally executions going on clockwork by the minute all over the world. Along with war, along with famine, along with animals attacking and people going crazy and having no peace and because of fear doing stupid stuff and killing each other. And the 144 are going throughout the earth. They're sealed by the mark of God, which means they're protected from this stuff. But they're evangelizing, and those who are evangelizing are being killed, executed. And that leads us to the last seal. Revelation chapter 8, and we'll end here today. When the Lamb broke the seventh seal, verse 1, on the scroll, there was silence throughout heaven. Some believe that silence is a sign of giving humanity one last shot or a moment to repent for about a half an hour. Verse 2, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and they were given seven trumpets. Throw that graphic on the screen if you would again. So I want you to see, in closing, a lot of stuff is happening, folks. The white horse represents the Antichrist. The red horse represents war. Black horse represents famine and inflation. People are starving to death. Pale horse represents, talk to me. What? 1/4 of the world dying. Fifth seal, we all of a sudden see that those who are getting converted start being executed. Sixth seal, the world is literally coming apart. If it's nuclear or if it's just whatever it might be, what's the cause? We don't know. We have a 30-minute break, and then the seventh seal, we have the opening of seven trumpets. And every judgment gets closer to each other and more intense. And if the first seven seals are not intense enough, it gets worse. And we'll talk about that later.